You want Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's gets it. We checked the calendar, and Christmas is coming early. $99 is all you need to grab your favorite select 7-foot pre-lit artificial Christmas tree for the holiday season. And don't sweat what gifts to get Dad, because we've got up to 40% off select tools and accessories. That's how Lowe's celebrates Black Friday early. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
President Trump is on a 5-day mission to Asia to discuss trade. Stopping in ASEAN, the Kuala Lumpur meeting, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand in particular, reducing their trade burden, their tariff burden, announced earlier this year. On to Japan, where there are agreements that do not threaten the life of the Japanese car industry, and a new prime minister. Now on to the big meeting in Seoul, South Korea, and the conversation with Xi Jinping about tariffs. Will they be reduced? Will they climb again? Will the rare earths come back in a year? Because Mr. Besant, we're told, has negotiated a suspension of the threat of rare earth cutoff. All of this is rarefied state-to-state conversation. It comes back down to America in the terms of, will it cost me money? I welcome Professor John Cochran of the Hoover Institution, writing his Grumpy Economist blog. He's never been grumpy in my presence, and I doubt he is anywhere. But in any event, a correspondence he held with a retailer in the United States about tariffs and what it means to inform the public that this isn't your idea, that prices are going up. Other thoughts come to do with the tariffs creating inflation. So will it cost you money? If there's inflation, yes. If the prices go up, yes. And what to expect? John, a very good evening to you. Your correspondence with the retailer is a fascination to me because I've puzzled about it itself. You have recommendations, but first, what is his concern? Because you very clearly said in the oil business, for example, if Brent crude goes up, they pass along the hike immediately to the gasoline stations. That apparently is not what the retailer has chosen. Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening. Yes. My correspondent, who sadly needs to remain anonymous, said that as a large retailer with an online presence, he has seen his costs go up substantially. They import a lot of stuff, especially from China. For the moment, they have not been passing it along to their customers because they like their customers. And he and his competitors are kind of standing around the pool looking at who's going to jump in first. But they are going to have to jump in. They cannot eat this forever. Eventually, tariffs are always passed through to the consumer. The only question is how long. His guess was that retailers like himself are going to try to get through Christmas. But after that, the inventories bought at low prices run out, and they're going to have to all jump, and we will start seeing those costs if the tariffs are still in place.
The tariff costs of all goods coming in, plus I'm told even if the goods don't come into the U.S., there are secondary and tertiary tariffs that flow through to a good that you think of. You know, asparagus. Now, how could that be a tariff? It comes from America. But in any event, then I connect that to inflation, because here is something you've taught me earlier. Inflation is not the same as a price going up. Inflation is the inflation rate. What is the connection, the concern the retailer has about inflation?
Oh, good for you, John. Not many people remember lessons from one talk to another. Yes, inflation is the level of all prices, and a tariff makes one price go up relative to others, not necessarily all. But it's perfectly clear that the Federal Reserve is not going to let other prices go down so that tariff goods prices can stay the same. So it will result in a bump in the price level, a transitory rise in measured inflation. And especially relative to your wages. So stuff's going to cost more. And that's what tariffs do. Now, I don't want to be all negative. When you think about tariffs now, you think not in terms of economics, but geopolitics. And, you know, aircraft carriers cost money, too. They cost lots of taxpayer money. We're going to pay for this. And let's just hope it's being used in a geopolitically wise way.
The tariffs have been described to me as a tax on the American consumer. Is that articulate, Professor?
That's absolutely true. So in the short run, like my retailer, they are willing to take it out of their profit margins because they don't want to raise prices suddenly on their consumers. And in the short run, even companies exporting to the U.S. are sometimes willing to absorb some of the tariffs themselves. But in the end, it must always go through to the American consumer. Sales taxes. Everybody understands that even though the store pays the sales tax, the price reflects that. You know, you end up paying the sales tax. The prices would not be different if the sales tax went. So, you know, you end up paying sales tax, you end up paying tariffs. The only question is, how long does that take? Maybe a year.
The Trump administration is much in the news announcing how much is coming in, but the tariffs that are already in place. There are many in negotiation, but already in place. And that money is said to be reducing the deficit and go to a pay down of the debt, which is trillions and trillions. What you're telling me is that a more straightforward, old-fashioned way would have been the central government to reduce, to increase the taxes. They have, but they call them tariffs. That means that they're going for a solution, and yet, John, they're spending more money, so they're not solving anything, are they?
Well, tariffs on imported goods are just a sales tax on imported goods. They raise money, which actually proves they're not reducing imports. so much for that. But they are raising some money. The problem is they're only a tax, a sales tax on some kind of goods. So suppose the federal government wanted to balance the budget by taxing strawberries. Well, you pass a 5,000% tax on strawberries, and it might look like it balanced the budget, but everyone buys blueberries instead. And that's the problem with just taxing imports rather than a general sales tax, which would actually be an efficient way for the government to raise money. And as you said, then if you've raised money, you can use it to reduce the deficit or pay down the debt, or you can use it to spend on other stuff. And it would be better in that direction. Cutting spending is going to be the way to attack the deficit eventually.
Now, real examples of what's going on in this five-day mission of the president. The one that struck me most is written up in the Financial Times, is that when in the ASEAN meeting with Malaysia, Indonesia, and Thailand in particular, the president was in a good mood to reduce the tariffs that are now to be imposed upon them subsequent to the agreement, 14, something like 24 to 19 or 18 to 14, different numbers. They're all going along with this because it's reduced. Now, does that cause worldwide difficulties reducing their tariffs and some are not? Is this a waiting game? In other words, has the president come up with tariffs as a way of winning favor or not and is indifferent to what it does to the American consumer?
Oh, no. Who knows what's in the mind of the president? And he says a lot about how wonderful tariffs are for the American consumer. I think all his economists know it's costly. But I think that's why the way to look at that is a geopolitical game. Trump is using tariffs in a way that, you know, when the U.S. sent gunboats into the harbor in Tokyo, it said in the 1840s, I think it was, and said, you got to open up your trade. That's kind of what the president is doing with tariffs. So the outcome will depend on does it work? Now, I hope the end game is one where we all have no tariffs and free trade with everyone, and that he's succeeded in opening up other countries. But let's see what the end game is.
Now back to the retailer you've corresponded with. All these exchanges are laid out in the Grumpy Economist. You can read them for yourself. When I came to the part of expectation, where are the tariffs? That's a question that we see floating around all the time. I don't see any cost differences. I've seen them. I buy gardening tools, and I've seen prices go up. I also buy flower bulbs. I've seen prices go up. But here's the deal: the retailer is saying they're not even close to where they're going, and the retailer is saying the inflation is coming, no matter you like it or not. Are either of those predictions on his part? I mean, he's a big part of the economy, of the consumer economy. Are those good predictions, or is this his anxiety?
No, I mean, the prices of things that you import or that use imports as part of the production process are going to go up. That's a lot. Well, that depends on what you're importing and from where. If you're importing from a country that has, you know, a 10% tariff, it's going to go up 10%. If you're importing something that has a country that has 100% tariff, then it's going to go up 100%. And if you're importing something directly, if you click on a website and say, I want to buy this from Europe or China, you're going to pay the tariff right away.
And he said fourth quarter of this year and first quarter of next year. Is that where we should look for them, John?
That's what he was saying, in part because, you know, this is a retailer who has a big Christmas business. So he wants to kind of cushion the shock for his customers this Christmas. But his view was that they run out of inventories that they have already laid in stock for this season pretty soon. And his accounting method said that then he's got to face the music of he has to buy stuff at a higher price, and it's got to pass on those prices.
Now an anecdote. I have a bill from a bulb specialty house, daffodils, tulips, lilies, that you plant in the fall. And the bill came in, everything was in order, no price rise from last year, except at the bottom was a charge for tariffs. It was said tariffs, and I think it was 6%. It was 6%. And my colleague, Gene Marks, who writes a small business column for London and for Philadelphia and other publications in this country, says that when he makes speeches to associations across the country, he recommends that they put the tariff bill at the bottom and say tariff bill, not to put the tariffs into the prices of the goods that make the customer think you're taking advantage. What do you think of that idea, John, to add it at the bottom?
Well, I think this whole business of companies waiting around to raise prices is businesses they want to treat their customers well. And so they're reluctant to raise prices because they don't want customers to think that the business is trying to screw them. San Francisco restaurants have started putting on, minimum wage and healthcare as a separate line rather than raise the menu prices. I think it does two things. One is helps the customer to understand that, sorry, it's not our fault. And why don't you stick with us? We still love you. But it's also a political statement, which is why my retailer was not willing to do this at all. And in our political moment, if a large retailer were to put tariff surcharge on them, he would certainly be inviting the scrutiny of all of the regulatory agencies. So I asked, and there's no way he's going to do that.
But the small business is putting it at the bottom. There's no cost that I can see. They're just being honest.
Maybe they're going to anger their politically, if they have Trump supporter customers, they might make this. So this is all about how do you signal to your customers and keep them happy, which is what businesses want to do, is keep customers happy. So it's a strategy that might work and a strategy that might backfire. I don't want to tell businesses how to run their shops.
John Cochran at the Hoover Institution. Mr. Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, has spoken much about his anxiety about what tariffs will do to inflation and jobs in this country. And there's a Federal Reserve meeting underway, which will conclude with a statement to lower rates or keep them the same within hours. And when we come back, John Cochran's opinion of what Powell can and can't do now. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Goldbelly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.